Lord bless the words of my lips and the meditations of my heart. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today gives meaning to it all. For those who went through Lent with some type of fast, maybe giving up something, some people add something during this time, today is the day that we break that. And we break that fast, we break that in a celebration of a total feast that the Lord is risen. And we can celebrate, and because of that we can look back on everything that happened. And it's totally changed, and it's given a new meaning and a new picture. And out of this comes even oxymorons. For example, the cross being our joy. We've talked a lot about the cross, and we know that all throughout history up until the Roman world, the cross was a thing of shame and a thing of torment and a thing of absolute horror. And yet, here we use it as a symbol of life. And any time we see the cross, we recognize it as hope. God's power, because of Easter morning, the power that broke through history on that point, even transform something as horrible as a cross into a symbol of hope and life and joy. And everything is changed at this instance. It is impossible for us to put into words or to put into images exactly what happened. I know with our dating system we do AD from the day of the Lord's birth. Yet, it could probably be argued that the only reason we can put AD at the year of the Lord's birth is because of the resurrection, because this is where the power comes through and divides history. You've walked with us a little bit through the study of Revelation. You know, what I say is that Revelation deals with what happens when the Son of God dies and is raised again. It's not some future thing. It's not something that we have to worry about black helicopters and all the conspiracies that go along with it. It has to do with what happens when the Son of God dies and is raised again. How that changes. And from that point on, you have two distinct cities that living in the world in the same proximity to one another. You have the citizens of New Jerusalem and the citizens of fallen Babylon. And we can live triumphantly, and we can live with hope because of the Lord's resurrection. And we go back to that early, to that morning. We go back to the early, or to the empty tomb. We peek in with the disciples. Now, because we are just at the morning of Easter, and really we have to read the story throughout the rest of this week, we're left with kind of a wondering almost. The two disciples get there, Simon Peter and the disciple whom Jesus loved, who we know as John. They get there, they look into the tomb, and then it kind of leaves us with a statement. And the other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. Believed what? Believed what? Because right after that, for as yet they knew not the Scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away into their own home. So the question that we have is when the disciples looked in, what did they believe? Did they believe that the Lord had been taken by thieves, as Mary Magdalene had said? Did they believe that the Lord was risen? What did they believe? Another alternate gospel for today, if two services are celebrated, is the Gospel of Mark that ends, and they left and were afraid. We have this idea that Easter is so, we're used to it. We grew up with it, especially those of us who grew up in the church. We're used to every year as it rolls around, we know the Easter story. But imagine living with the disciples, walking through that story for the very first time. How much trouble would you have believing if I walked up and said, "Hey, you know that person that we just buried? He's alive." You probably would not believe that because you've never seen it. So put yourself in the disciples' shoes. They came, and they didn't quite know what to expect. And so this year, as we walk through Easter time, let us hear once again where our Lord identifies Himself to the disciples, where He educates them even more and more about what His resurrection means. Because according to the epistle this morning, it means a whole lot. St. Paul says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above." That is our calling. Anything Easter does for us, it raises our sights from just the mundane world. It raises our sights from this is all we have. It lets us know that even though our eyes one day will close in death, this is not the only story that is told. There is one. There is a continuation of the story. Death has been swallowed up in victory because our Lord is risen. And because of that, because we no longer have to just live unto the flesh, because we no longer just have this world with which we have to deal with, we have a world that is beyond us. We have a world that we can enter into. We have a world that even today we stand with one foot here and one foot there as we follow God. Lift our sights. Seek those things which are above. That is our Easter message this morning. Not just that the Lord is risen, but the Lord is risen, and what does that mean for us? It means salvation. It means hope. It means change. It means redemption. It means we are able to look higher, to look greater than just what we see around us. We live for a much more noble purpose than just this world. We live for the things that are above. Let us take that Easter message, that hope, that promise, that joy that gives meaning to everything, a message so powerful that it changes the cross from a symbol of torture to a symbol of life and hope, that it changes a tomb from a place of death to a place of entrance into the presence of God. Let us take that message and share it with the world around us that so desperately needs the hope that only Easter can bring. And we, as an Easter people, are the only ones who can tell. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.